Right, we're all ready. Welcome back. And we're looking at the age to come. And it's exciting as we look and see what the Bible says. And I encourage you, look at the verses, go through them and check them in your Bible. Start to do your own searching. So we're looking at the age to come, and we're going to do part three. What will the believers be doing in the age to come? Again, there's a huge amount in the Bible on this. Huge amounts, mainly through the prophets. But you've got to search for it. So who will be there? Because there's going to be this period of time called the Great Tribulation and so on. And so people who'll be alive, well, one will be the resurrected Jesus. He'll be there. Resurrected, overcoming believers are going to be there as well. Out of every generation, some rose from the dead, some were changed. And there'll also be believers who were not qualified to enter the first resurrection. And I'll deal with that in another session when we look at the first resurrection. And there'll also be unsaved people. There's quite a mix of people, aren't there? And so what will Jesus be doing? Well, here's what he'll be doing. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 25. It said, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, all power. He must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And then verse 28, and when all things are made subject to him, the Son himself will be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be God all in all. Now, the language is kind of clumsy, but if we just try to make it sort of to simplify it, during the millennium is 1,000 years, it will come to an end. At the end, Jesus has established his rule over the whole earth. So it says he must rule until everything is subject to him. That implies it takes time to bring order into the world. And not only that, scriptures seem to indicate that not everyone will be happy about it, that this is a journey and a process of transforming cultures of the world to be aligned with kingdom culture. Now you can imagine, you know what people are like over their cultures. They can be quite reactionary to attempts to actually adopt the kingdom culture, but then the kingdom culture can find an expression in every culture without dishonoring it. So we've got to figure that God will work it out. So his agenda is to bring an end to everything that would oppose his rule, to bring peace to the earth and order to the earth, so that what God mandated Adam has 1,000 years when it's being fulfilled. Or if we just back it up again another way, God gave Adam a mandate to rule over the earth, which he failed to fulfill. God doesn't change the plan and say, look, I changed the plan. Change the plan. We're just going to get people to heaven now. You understand? That's like a failed plan. He's not failing in his plan. His plan is, I want man ruling over the earth in relationship with me, reflecting what I'm like and using their own creativity. And I'm going to bring it about. It's just the process to get there takes a bit of time. And it comes into fulfillment when Jesus returns, the saints are resurrected, and they work with him to bring this about. So when the end comes, he will reign all through the millennium, bringing order through all of creation, and he needs people to help him do it. That means there's got to be communications and instructions and wisdom and showing what to do. Oh, it's going to be so exciting. How about that? Then the end comes and he hands over the kingdom to his Father, and the Bible talks about the throne of the Father and the throne of Jesus, and they will reign over all creation, but there will be ones in the throne with Jesus who will share in that. So Jesus' ministry in the millennium is to subdue things to become an order of the kingdom of God and its values. The resurrected overcomers, or who are they? What will they do? These are believers who have overcome the challenges and the generation they lived, and they will be raised in the first resurrection. We saw that in Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. Second death has no power over them. Now look at this. They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So what will people who are overcomers, who are resurrected, do? They will be priests and kings. Now, we operate in that now. You're called to be a priest. A priest is someone who goes into the presence of God and offers honor and sacrifices of praise and gratitude, who brings the needs of people to him and comes forth to bring blessing to people. That's what a priest does. They come into the presence of God with offerings of praise and gratitude. They bring the needs of people into session, and then they receive empowerment or wisdom or whatever to minister to those needs. That's what priesthood is. Kings is about ruling, about bringing governmental order, about subduing opposition. See? And so it's the first resurrection is a resurrection of reward and honor. So believers who are resurrected will have an unusual access to God that others won't have. I'll talk about that a little bit later. And they won't die. They'll have a resurrected body just like Jesus, and they'll be working with him to do this job. Think about that, a resurrected body, not getting old, not waking up with aches and pains. Oh, no doctors, no dentists. Oh. So it goes on, it goes on. We'll come back to that. Now, remember we looked in Daniel and saw Daniel had a vision. Daniel had vision of the end times. So not surprising, Daniel saw this happening. Remember he saw the vision of Jesus coming? So in Daniel's vision in Daniel 7, which you see in Revelations 5 and Revelations 20, you see what he saw in Daniel 7 is in Revelations 5 and Revelations 20. Okay, so this is what he saw. He saw Jesus receive the right to rule. He saw it. Whoa, look at that. There it is. It's happening. And in Daniel 7, verse 13 to 14, I was watching in the night visions, and one like the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming in the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, that's the Father. They brought him near to the Father. Then to him, that's to Jesus, was given dominion and glory and the kingdom and all peoples, all and everyone. All peoples, all nations, all languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion. It won't ever go away. This is it. This is the final game plan. Everything has been the prelude working up, and now God's got his plan in place. How about that? It's awesome. Awesome. It's an everlasting dominion. It'll not pass away. It doesn't come and go like the Roman Empire did. It's just there forever and ever and ever and ever. And it says, and all his kingdom, it shall never be destroyed. Wow. That's something awesome. So Jesus receives his kingdom. You see the same in Revelations 5. I won't go into it. You could go look at it yourself. But remember, the Father's got a scroll in his hand. So John sees the vision, but he gets more details. He sees the Father, and he sees a scroll. And they check out, who can open the scroll? No one can open the scroll. He weeps, no one can open the scroll. There's no one worthy. And then they say, wait a minute. There's one who is worthy to open that scroll. Now, what is the scroll? It's probably the title deed to the world. And the only one worthy to open it is the Lamb that was slain and shed his blood for the world. And so the Lamb comes forward, and he's counted worthy to open that. And the opening of it, of course, then sets off and triggers off his return to govern and rule. He's got the ownership. The scroll is receiving the dominion, you see. It's the legal title. Here you are. You're authorized. Now go. And it says there, also, you've redeemed us out of every tribe and nation and tongue, made us priests and kings unto our God. It's the same language. So you see it in Revelation, see it in Daniel. Okay, now, Daniel also saw not only Jesus get the kingdom, he saw the believers. He saw more. Now, there's a lot in there. We're not going to go into all the details because you just get bogged down in it all. But you study it. Set yourself, I want to learn and study, find out what I can. But I want to pick up this bit. I want to pick up about the believers, the overcomers. He saw the overcomers inherit the kingdom. And Daniel 7, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You can only hold on to something forever if you've got a resurrection body. Does it make sense? You can only hold it forever if you can live forever. So he said, I saw it. I saw it. I saw it. Saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom. They'll possess the kingdom. That means prior to that, they didn't have it. They had access to it. They were part of it. They were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into this kingdom. But this is all about graduating to sonship and receiving the right to rule. Now they got it. He saw it in verse 21. I was watching, and he said, I saw the same horn. That means there was a power at work in the earth, making war against the saints and prevailing against them. So he said, I was watching, and the church was getting a hammering. Believers were being killed and tortured, persecuted. There were troubles. The horn, that power, was prevailing over the church. And then the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made. He's referring back what he'd already been saying. And the judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. The time came. In other words, there's a time for us to get all God has. There's a time to get and possess what God has intended us to have, our inheritance. Wow. And then, at that time, the kingdom, the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdoms under heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All dominions shall serve and obey him. So notice then, he starts off saying, I saw into heaven, I saw the Father, I saw the throne, I saw the glory, and while I was watching, I saw the Ancient of Days seated, court was in session, our decision is about to be made. And everyone's watching. And then I saw one like the Son of Man. That's Jesus. And he was brought to the Father, to the Ancient of Days. And to him was given dominion. He was given the scroll. He was given the deed to rule. He was given the right to rule. That's what kingdom is, right to rule. He was given the right to rule. And his dominion and rulership will never end. It's an everlasting kingdom. Now it goes on and says, wait a minute. I saw something about the saints. The saints were getting a hammering. The devil was giving them a hard time, this persecution, all kinds of things. Then the time came when Jesus gets the right to rule, he shares it with the saints. The time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. The time came for the saints who have labored and served and sacrificed, given up their lives, to have access to what they will be rewarded with. They obtain the right to rule with Jesus in this coming kingdom. It's kept me going all these years. That verse. The time came when the saints possess what they've lived their life for. Now you see what Jesus is saying. Seek first the kingdom of God. You're not just saying, oh, listen, now this, I want to show you how to order your priorities. This is far more than that. You're not just talking about ordering your priority. He's talking about seek first this glorious coming kingdom and let that shape the way you do life. And by the way, all the things you need will be added to you if you live your life that way. And if they aren't in this life, they'll be added in the next age. God wants us to live for something bigger, greater, and grander. Okay, you getting the idea? Yep. All righty then. So resurrected overcomers will then move about freely. They'll drink and drink. They'll become visible to people or vanish. Now, I'm going to touch on this on the story of the resurrection. You want to know what your resurrection body will be like? Oh, phenomenal. 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 And Jesus will share his governing authority with overcomers. Look what it says in Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes. Now, an overcomer we saw, they were presented with a challenge and they stood up to it and they didn't cave and they overcame it. Now, it doesn't mean they won. It just means they didn't cave in. They overcame what was there. It was trying to make them go one way. They overcame it. Daniel and his friends overcame, and to them was given honor. You understand? They had to overcome the pressure of the Babylonian system to crush them and conform them and change their identity. They stood up to it and they were rewarded. That's what this is about, overcoming. So, to him who overcomes, now this particular verse, interestingly, is talking about overcoming Jezebel. Now, I can't get sidetracked, although I'd love to. The spirit of Jezebel refers to a principality called the Queen of Heaven, which was centered in Babylon. See? And its desire is to do two things, is to control and to defile. Control and defile. It does lots of other things, and it corrupts marriages and families and nations and every kind of way. But that principality is a power at work in darkness and hidden. It's behind religions. It's behind the sexual immorality, sexual perversion. It's behind witchcraft. It's behind many things. If you can think of something that'll defile, it's behind it. So ultimately, it's behind defilement and just obstruction of the work of God and the control over people, so they've got no freedom. So you see later on in the book of Revelation, it talks about that this power is responsible for the blood of all the saints shed through history. It's been the same power behind it. Okay, so this is what he says. If you overcome that, not only that, don't tolerate it. Don't tolerate the defilement of control and immorality, idolatry. Don't let it defile you. Do not yield to it. Don't go along with permissive teaching that tells you can do whatever you want. God loves you. He forgives you. You don't have to worry. It's all forgiven at the cross. Listen, all of that leads to defilement, because the grace of God is given not to allow you to continue in sin. The grace of God is given to change you, to become an overcomer of sin. And see, to him who overcomes, so here's, when you try to stand up to that principality, it's very nasty. You get accused, you get slandered, you get attacked, you get criticized, you get rejected. A lot of things, bad things happen. You can lose your reputation, lose finance, lose everything. It is a destructive, bitter, hostile spirit full of hate. When you encounter it, you encounter hatred like you've never seen before. And I'm seeing it emerging more openly now everywhere against believers. Well, I believe in a marriage and family and husband and wife, and one man, one. Wow, okay, it will attack. So it said, he that overcomes, I'll grant to sit with my throne as I overcame and sit with my Father in his throne. To sit in the throne with Jesus means to share with him in his governance of the earth, to take a part in what he's about to do to reform the earth. So everyone is called to have a part. The part we play will be different depending on what we do now. Okay, so what about other believers? So in sharing his throne, he shares authority and responsibility. He'll give you some area to bring into order. You'll be in charge. You'll be responsible to exercise justice, to instruct and lead in every sphere of life. You'll be responsible to bring God to people at a level you've never done before. Really amazing. People will need help with this. You will operate in great demonstrations of power. The power of God will be at a major, major different level to what it is now. So to rule, when we say the word rule, most people just think of sitting, bossing everyone around. It's not a biblical concept. The biblical concept of ruling is to protect, first of all, from hostile activities and destruction. In other words, there are real enemies you've got to stand up to. And secondly, it means to cultivate so something's productive, create the environment it can grow and be healthy. So when it says you will rule with Christ, you will be a servant of Christ to people. But you'll serve him in another level of power and authority and bring changes. You'll stand up and confront things that are evil and stop them functioning. And you will create an environment where people can thrive because the presence of God moves freely there. Helps if you kind of got to, otherwise we know the verse, but haven't got a clue, can't put it into what that could look like. It's just sort of way out there somewhere. So you start doing that now in the life. If you're not ruling over what God gave you now, how will you ever rule over something bigger later on? If you don't protect and cultivate what God gave you now, like start with your own body, your own life. Start with your marriage, start with your family, start with your finances. Just start with your personal life and work outwards. Bring it into divine order. That would be starting to rule with Christ, overcoming. So while these are grand lofty things, they all plug down to something really basic. You don't have to go out to the mission field. You just live your life, but live it aligned with Jesus and bringing it into order so you protect what God has given you and you cultivate what God has given you and you share what God has given you. Okay. So what about other believers and unsaved people? Believers who don't qualify in the first resurrection, they will have great regret over losing this. I'm going to cover that in a later parable. But if you, I'll put it this way. If you knew that you were called to get $1 million given to you, if you just lived a consistent life, godly life, and then you realized, actually, I blew it. I just didn't care. And then suddenly I front up and find now I've lost all that money. There'd be a lot of sadness about that. But this is far bigger because it's permanent. It's a role in the kingdom. So we will live a normal life, except for those who are resurrected. But the conditions of the culture, the nation, the governance, everything will alter. Dramatic changes. People still marry, they'll have families, they'll have children, they live, they work, they die. But every area of the human endeavor will excel in a way it's never excelled before. And that's, in other words, justice will come. Justice will come. So God will bring justice. So Bible tells us then, because of this, because of all that lies ahead, you must prepare. You have to prepare for this. Don't just say, oh, well, it's all interesting. I'll just mosey along like I've always done. No, the call is to prepare. Why? Well, there's a reason. First thing is the age to come will be preceded by unprecedented tribulation and global upheaval. That's what will come before this comes. So Jesus revealed the signs of his coming in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, Luke 21, 25, there'll be signs on the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, sea and waves roaring. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth, for the powers even of heaven will be shaken. So the transition from this age to the next, like a birth process, is filled with turmoil. Matthew 24, 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pandemics and earthquakes in diverse places. So you notice then, the transition out of this age to the next is not an easy one. Like all transitions, it doesn't take place easily. So there'll be a waves of successive devastating global events that'll disturb people, make them want peace, change. It'll come in waves of increasing intensity like a woman bearing a child, he said in Matthew 24. So you look around and it seems like there's more bad stuff happening all the time. It just keeps coming. There seems to be more of it now. So people say, oh, no more of it. They're just hearing more because the news is reporting better. No, I think there's more of it. Okay, and the Bible says there'll be more of it. And it says Jesus in Matthew 24:8 likened it to a woman in childbirth. You just get a little nudge and then a little pain, and then, oh, my God, oh, no, this is huge, you know. And then it's over. So he says that what will happen in the earth is just like a woman giving birth, all kinds of upheavals, wars, rumors of wars, fighting, battling, pandemics, famines, difficulties. These things are emerging, as far as I can see, very obviously in the earth today. And of course, some of them are engineered so that the level of fear will be increased, so then people can gain greater control and be able to bring it into one united body. And so don't be afraid of that, because actually, you're all just working out God's plan anyway, because you're going to unite the whole world under Christ. So, hello. So that's what it tells us. So governments will become more controlling, totalitarian, socialistic. That is the trend. It will continue till Christ comes and confronts it all. It's already, if you read, I encourage you to go and have a look and study the goals of the United Nations 2030 Agenda, their goals. Have a look at, start to search some stuff on the WEF, and the World Forum. And what are their goals? Their goals are clear. They're working towards what they call the fourth industrial revolution, a major change where technology, economics, and media are all combined. So they want to change how life is done, how government is done. It's just, the plan is out there. It's not a conspiracy, it's actually a goal of people who are backed by the wealthiest people in the world, to bring it about. Their planned way of doing it is to engineer crises so they can gain extra control. That's how it works. So if you thought there's something going on, there is something going on. But behind that, something bigger is going on that we should know about. Otherwise, you'll just be scared of what the media is saying rather than saying, oh, man, did you know God predicted all of this? Do you know this is all in the Bible? You know what's coming next? Do you want to know what's coming next? Oh, man, I don't think you're ready to hear this. So this is already the goal of the United Nations 2030 Agenda and the goal of the World Economic Forum, and it's embraced by our Prime Minister, and she actually repeats word for word their agenda sometimes. So under that, private ownership will disappear. Many things will happen. But this is all. Jesus said, don't be deceived. Matthew 24:4, he said, don't take heed lest anyone deceives you or lead you astray. Cause you to believe something false. Cause you to live in fear. The church in this season will probably find itself vilified because of standing up and holding to values which are being rejected by society. It's coming. You just got to decide whether you're going to be an overcomer and hold to what Jesus said or not. Hold a good attitude and hold to what Jesus said. Christians will be labeled a threat to society because of their beliefs. And once you've labeled someone a threat, then you can persecute them. That's how tyranny has always worked. So this is the era we're living in when all of this is reasonably visible now. So without becoming a conspiracy thing and looking for secret things, it all lines up with what God said would come about, and that people would move that way, and then there would be the coming of the Lord to destroy what they built. So current events show you how quickly the world can change. Well, think about that. I mean, think what you know now and then go back to before the pandemic. You could never have believed it would have happened. Okay. So Jesus warned. He gave it. So first of all, he warned about being deceived in Matthew 24:4. And secondly, he warned about walking worthy. In other words, living a lifestyle that is worthy of the coming kingdom. So Luke 21:34-36. Luke 21:34-36. Take heed to yourselves. In other words, make your personal life your priority, lest your hearts be weighed down with what? Wild living, carousing, drunkenness, cares of life. And what will happen? The day comes, or the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, comes on you unexpectedly. Verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth, just like the days of Noah. So he says, now what do you need to be doing? You need to develop intimacy with the Lord. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray always. What are you watching and praying? What are you watching? See, Christians know the verses. They don't stop to think, what am I watching? That word watch means to be alive, awake, alert to the influences that are affecting you, and to pray for empowerment to overcome them. And he says, and pray always, what? That you might be counted worthy to escape those things and stand before the Son of Man. Now, to be counted worthy means someone looked at what you're doing and said that you are deserving of this. Now, that's a whole different deal than just, I get it by right. Because I'm a Christian, God's going to just do this for me. No, he says, watch and pray. Build a strong spiritual life where you're fresh and strong in the spirit, and pray that you'll be counted worthy, that God, when he looks at your life at the judgment, will consider you are worthy to actually be brought into the first resurrection and stand before him. Whoa. And he says that you can be so weighed down. What are you going to be weighed down by? Well, you're weighed down by the pressures of life. Well, there's vaccines and travel and there's masks and burdens. And now there's going to be financial lack and power prices are going up. You know, all of that stuff can actually end up weighing you down so you don't live a free, joyful life, grateful to the Lord. Watch and pray. Stay spiritually sensitive, filled with the Holy Ghost. Second thing, apart from that need for intimacy, is the need to make yourself ready. You need to be prepared. So in Revelation 19, verse 7, it says, "Be glad and let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." Now you notice, Jesus didn't make her ready. She made herself ready. "And for her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." Whoa. Talking of supernatural garments, the garments of glory, the garments of resurrection. It was granted to her because of what? She made herself ready. What if she didn't make herself ready? You understand, a lot of Christians not making themselves ready, and a lot of Christians not watching and praying. So you can't, to overcome, you have to actually face and stand up to and achieve something. And then there's a reward, there's a victor's crown. You don't get the crown for participating. You're a winner. You took part. Oh, come on. There's nowhere in life works like that. That's a deception. You're not a winner because you took part. You're a winner because you overcame something. You won. You didn't lose. Not, well, I tried hard. That's a loser's language. Really. But I tried. And well, God wants you to learn not just to try, but to how to walk with him and overcome stuff. So he can, he's looking, he wants you to win. He's cheering you on to win. He said, "I won, you can win too because I'm in you. I want you to win. I want you to win because I got so much to give you." Think about that, okay. So the bride made herself ready. He said, "For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Hello. That means that the garment of glory is constructed out of what we have done to serve God in this life. Righteous act of the saints. Now we're saved by Jesus' work, but we're rewarded according to what we have done as a result of that. So the white garments are the rewards of preparation. Resurrection bodies whose glory will reveal what you did. I'll touch that when we get onto resurrection. So, make yourself ready. Live a life that's honoring to God. In other words, live out your sonship before him, intimacy with him, and serving him, and letting him transform your life. That's all he's asking you to do. Live out what he called you to be, and not be deceived and seduced by bad news, by what's coming on the earth, but live it out in preparation for the age to come. Or to say it just simply in another way, live life today like every day counts for the age to come. God bless. We just finished with that. There we go. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. We're all you have shared and helped us get hold of. Our minds are blown. That there is a day, a time when the saints possess the kingdom. Oh, what a glorious day. I just live for that day. Live for that coming kingdom. You know, it says, to those who await him, eagerly expect him, he shall appear the second time, not to deal with sin, but for our full salvation. Oh, how I look for him. God bless. We have our break now.